What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of the Toolshed Podcast, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 432. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Toolshed Pod. Kicking off third base this episode with third base prospect rankings. Rolling solo in this one, but I got plenty of guests lined up for the next few episodes. Before I get into all of my rankings and some of the player discussion here, get the housekeeping out of the way. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure to check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners, including TeamSync, lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass goes with a 100% money back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code Toolshed at checkout to get you 10% off. Lot of great stuff going on at Rotoballer. Plenty of content, tools across various sports. Definitely the place to be for all your sports and fantasy sports content. All right, let's get into the rankings here. Third base, top 20 prospect rankings I'll be diving into in this episode, starting with the top 10. And there's a lot of guys here that are just eligible at multiple spots. Actually, there's only three guys in my entire top 20 where I only have third base as in their position column on my spreadsheet. Everyone else has, you know, two positions in their column here, or even three on a few of those guys. So definitely an interesting position for sure. But yeah, we'll start off with the rankings here. We'll start off with the top 10. No elite guy at this position right now, but just a lot of good prospects. So no super sexy names here, but starting it off with Sal Stewart, who also probably plays a little more first base this year for Cincinnati, but we shall see. Number two, Jordan Lawler. Number three, Marcelo Meyer. Four is Caleb Bonimer. Five, Jacob Reimer. Six, Luke Adams. Seven is Sam Antonacci. Eight, Andrew Fisher. Nine, Cam Collier. And 10, Alex Freeland. So again, all those guys had at least two spots in their position column on my spreadsheet. But let's start. You know, I already discussed Sal Stewart and Jordan Lawler at other positions, and we'll also talk about Jordan Lawler more in the third base dynasty episode, which I actually have already recorded. That'll be out on Wednesday. So I won't talk about Jordan Lawler here. Same with we talked about Marcelo Meyer in that episode, Third Base Dynasty, which was with Owen Hurd. So I won't go over him either. But I want to start with Caleb Bonimer, who played both shortstop and third base for the Chicago White Sox this year. Most of the season was in low A, a little cup of coffee in high A to end the season. A pretty good overall season for Bonimer, 281, 401, 473 slash, a 151 WRC plus, 420 WOBA, had 30 doubles, 12 home runs, 29 steals, only caught 8 times, 75 walks to 101 strikeouts. So that's a 15.8% walk rate to a 21.2% strikeout rate. And, you know, one of the, you know, top prospects for the Chicago White Sox right now, I think many would probably have Brady Montgomery number one, you know, maybe, you know, one of the pitchers, Noah Schultz or Hagen Smith are up in there as well. Those are kind of like the top four in some particular order. But Caleb Bonimer might have the highest upside of any White Sox prospect, really, even more so than Montgomery, who probably has a higher floor, but safer. He's more advanced. But when you just look at the entire package that Caleb Bonimer brings to the table, I mean, he's a very advanced hitter for his age. You know, he was 19 the entire season. He turned 20 just after the season. And to have a 401 OBP overall at least 400 at both levels, 400 on the dot in low A, 409 in high A. Now, this shows is how advanced his eye is and pitch recognition is for a 19-year-old. That's very, very impressive. Good contact skills, too. Overall, about 77% contact. Kept the swing and strike rate very low, 8.5%. That's very encouraging. K rate only 21%. Walk rate just a hair under 16% at both levels he was at. So you got to, at least as of now, project him to be, a guy that probably gives you a good average and a high OBP as well. And that's not to say, there's no, power speed upside here, because there is solid power in the profile here with Caleb Bonnemer. I don't know if I'd say plus. I mean, I think he could get to plus down the road, if he maybe adds a little bit more muscle here in the coming years. But, I could safely say above average power down the road, like projection-wise, I think is definitely fair. Kind of like a 20 to 25 homer guy. And, he's far from a burner, but, I think there's, at least average, maybe ticks down to fringe average speed, but I feel like he's a guy that's going to give you like 15 to 20 steals as well. Maybe he's not a 25, 30 plus guy. I mean, he had 29 last year. Not sure if he gets to that level in majors, but if he's giving you 15 to 20 steals with, 20, 25 home runs, good average, good OBP, I mean, that's a pretty good all-around package right there offensively. And obviously, he's still a couple years away. Probably spends, most of the season at high A, double A. This upcoming year, maybe you see a mid to late 2027 ETA, maybe even early 2028. We'll see. But I think Bonnemer's a guy that could find his way into, like a top 25 range. And now I'm even thinking about it now, just talking about him out loud. Yeah, I might want to bump him up even higher here. I mean, Stewart will still be my number one, but actually, I could probably make a case for Bonnemer ahead of Meyer and Lawler. It's definitely Meyer, and I'm actually going to make that swap right now, switching it around right now on the air. I've done this a few times over the years, as has Clegg on these episodes. That's why I love doing these. You really start talking it out, and once you really just hear yourself talk about a player out loud, you're like, man, maybe I like this guy more or less than I thought I did. So I'm going to swap him right now. I'll keep Lawler two, but I'll move Bonnemer to three and Marcelo Meyer down to number four overall. But yeah, Bonnemer, a good target right now. I think he's take that next step and maybe be a top 25 overall prospect by the end of the 2026 season. Now, right behind him in the five spot here, we get Jacob Reimer with the New York Mets, who another guy that had kind of like a sneaky good season in the minor leagues this year that I just don't feel like is getting talked about quite as much as he probably should, though the hype is starting to build on Reimer. Overall, it was a 282, 379, 491 slash line in 122 games, which were split exactly down the middle. 61 games in high A, 61 in double A, 17 home runs, 32 doubles as well, 15 steals, 11.1% walk rate, and a 21.5% strikeout rate. So pretty solid walk to K rate there, 58 walks, 112 strikeouts, was only caught three times. Just pretty consistent production at both levels. Hit right around 280 at both levels, OBP above 370 at both levels, slug above 475 at both levels, and a WRC plus of 150 in double A, 163 in high A. So one of the higher WRC plus marks in the minors last year. Four prospects that had at least 500 play appearances. I can't remember. I don't have the whole leaderboard in front of me, but I remember he was pretty high up for guys that like played the full season. With Reimer here, it's no one tool that really stands out, but he's a solid enough contact hitter, around 75% contact in 2025 with a 10.5% swing strike rate. You know, I think there's above average power here in the profile as well. Maybe even plus. He's kind of like that fringy above average to plus power guy. So it's not huge power, but I do think he could be like a 2025 homer bat down the road. You know, solid arm over at third base as well. You got to wonder, does he have to move off? Doesn't really have like a ton of range over there. So maybe he moves over to first down the road, though I don't think that's anything imminent in 2026. So nothing to worry about there as of now. But I think the bat will play. I mean, not a big speed guy, probably never gives you more than a handful of steals annually, maybe 5 to 10 early on in his career. But I wouldn't expect like 15 to 20, even though he did have some, what was it, 15 steals last year? What did I say? Yeah, 15 steals last year. I wouldn't really expect that moving forward. He's more of like a fringy average guy, but maybe he gives you, you know, close to double digits early on in his career. But you know, not a zero in the speed department, you know, solid, you know, average, maybe a tick above average contact guy, decent approach, above average to plus power. So yeah, definitely a lot to like here with Reimer, who probably starts the year in AAA. You know, I imagine, and you know, that's where he gets 2026 season started, and probably maybe see him later on second half of the year with the Mets. You know, Brett Beatty kind of established himself at third base, or at least maybe that's too much. Maybe not established himself, but showed enough in the second half where I think he'll get some run at the hot corner for the Mets. But if he were to falter, which you know he's done before at the major league level, maybe you see Reimer get some run at third base later on in the season, or even at first base, and kind of both those corners not locked down right now for the New York Mets. So we'll see. You know, they got Vientos up there, Beatty, obviously, like I just mentioned. So we'll see. But I like the bat. You know, Reimer's like a top 75 prospect for me right now. And a guy who, if he's still prospect eligible at the end of the season, I think could be like a, I wouldn't say top 25 like Bonnemer. I don't think there's that level of upside, but I could definitely say like a top 50 or so prospect here for Jacob Reimer by the end of the season. I was able to see him a little bit. I think I saw him a few games, one series in AA. Very solid bat. It's made a lot of loud contact to all fields. Probably be a guy that just gives you a good amount of extra base hits overall. So good bat here with Jacob Reimer. And he's a buy, too. I'd say Bonnemer is a bigger buy in my eyes. But Jacob Reimer, solid bat as well. All right, next guy I wanted to discuss here. One of the, you know, top FYPD guys in this past year's draft, 2025 draft, you know, was a first round pick. Guy that, you know, as of now will be a third baseman, though probably, you know, maybe moves over to first base at some point. Hard to say. Andrew Fisher is the guy I'm talking about here. The Brewers just have so many corner infield guys. I mean, their top guys are middle infielders in Mate and Pena. But at the corners, they got Luke Adams. They got Brock Wilken. They got Fisher. You know, they just have so many guys. Blake Burke as well. Eric Batonte. You know, it's a lot of – Tyler Black is still kicking around, too. He's still prospect eligible. But – so I don't know how the corners are going to look and, you know, which one of these guys or which two of these guys going to rise above the rest. But – I like Fisher's bat a lot, and I know I'm not alone in that. I know plenty of other people I've talked to in the industry are pretty high on Andrew Fisher as well. You know, good final year in college. You know, actually, really, you know, two good years, but really broke out, you know, to like first round draft levels last year at the University of Tennessee. Finished with a 341, 497, 760 slash line, the 520 wOBA, pretty damn good. 25 bombs, 21.6% walk rate, and a 14.4% strikeout rate. Then got a little bit of time in high A to end the season on 19 games, 87 plate appearances, had 7 extra base hits, 1 dinger, stole 8 bags randomly. This shows you that, you know, don't take anything. Any stolen base numbers, every stolen base number in my league needs to be taken with a grain of salt, especially anything below double A. You know, single A, especially rookie ball, I don't even really look at that, but low A, high A, especially a collegiate guy that's just going to take advantage of just lower level and inexperienced catching prospects. So don't look at those eight steals and think he's a burner. He's not. I think he's more of a 2, 3, 4, 5 type of steal guy. But the bat could be really, really good standout guy. You know, where he's a guy that if I don't have an elite, like top 7 or 8 pick, if I'm like in the back end of a top 10 FYPD, anywhere in like that 8 to 12 range, I think you got to look long and hard at a guy like Andrew Fisher, because I think the bat is that good. The bat is advanced. I think he is average to above average contact potentially. Even if it's just average, maybe I'll err on a set of caution and say average right now, you know, more like a 260-ish hitter. I think there's 25 to 30 home runs here. I think he's a plus power bat and really gets in that pull side power. So really good angles, you know, high fly ball rate, high pull air rate. So really all you really hope to see with a power hitter. So I think like a 260-30 homer type of guy is a distinct possibility, and a guy that gives you good OBP as well. You know, high OBP everywhere he's gone. His lowest OBP in college was 397. Again, had a 21.5% walk rate his last year in college. It was 12.5% in that cup of coffee in high A to end last season. So I think a 360, 370, 380, somewhere in that range OBP guy to go along with a decent enough average and 30-plus home runs. Yeah, I think he's a guy that's going to be a big riser up prospect rankings in 2026, and just a good, good third base, or just a good prospect target as well, not just at this position. Overall, I think he's a good FYPD target, as I mentioned. And even after FYPD, if you don't land him in your FYPD, a guy that would be a good trade target as well. I think there's a chance he's in like that 25 to 40 range overall in prospect rankings by the end of 2026. Don't think we see him debut this upcoming year, but definitely think we see him get up to AAA, probably starts the year in AA if I had to guess. Spends a good chunk of the year there. Well, obviously, it depends on how he plays, but I think like a AA, AAA season for him with a early to mid 2027 ETA is kind of where I'm at right now on Andrew Fisher. But like the bat a lot, and again, I'm not the only one. So plenty of others like me like the bat with Andrew Fisher. So he is a definite top 10 guy at this position. Yeah, some other names, like I already talked about Sim Antanacci at second base. You know, he played some third base as well. Luke Adams, another solid underrated guy, but I talked about him at first base. But those are the guys that I really wanted to hit at this position in the top 10. Bonimer, Jacob Raymer, and Andrew Fisher, three really good targets right now. And, quick shout out to Alex Freeland. Honestly, I have zero clue how he fits into the picture. I mean, outside of an injury, I mean, he's played kind of all three infield spots outside of first. He's played some second, some third, some short, some solid blend of contact, some decent power, a little bit of speed mixed in there too. So a guy that can give you, at least some sort of impact to varying levels at kind of all five categorical, the five major stat categories that we usually play with in fantasy baseball. But he's a little bit older. He's 24. Don't really know where he fits into the plan here with the Dodgers. But, Mookie is a little bit older. The Dodgers have some older guys where, there's been some injuries there. So I feel like he gets at least 300, 400 plate appearances as is, maybe more with some injuries. Maybe he gets dealt. The Dodgers have so many guys that are trying to fit in there. And obviously, they have all the big name, the all-stars, the studs, the Otanis. That's really like the level. It's like, it goes like, bench guy, solid regular, like all-star, stud, and then like Otani. Him and Judge are level by themselves. But yeah, don't know where Freeland mixes in to that mix, but I like Freeland's profile a little bit here. So I'll give him a shout out as a guy that won't cost you much in dynasty leagues at all. It's because, he's 24. That's like 50 in prospect years. He's a Dodger, so there's always that question mark of, you know, the playing time. So they're still trying to get Dalton rushing playing time. I don't even want to figure out how that outfield logjam is going to play out. I mean, not to get into an outfield rant here, but since I'm talking about the Dodgers, like, you know, that fearsome foursome of Zaire Hope, Josue De Paula, Eduardo Quintero, and Mike Sirota. Wow. How, I don't even know. You got to assume a few of those guys get traded, but yeah. Dodgers, I mean, they're number one system in baseball right now for a reason. So Alex Freeland, sneaky target there. So he rounds up my top 10.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.
All right, let's move over to 11 through 20 in my rankings, starting with Brock Wilkin of the Milwaukee Brewers, Juan Sanchez of Toronto at 12, Max Anderson, talked about him more so in the second base episode because he played a little bit more there than third base, but he's at 13. Speaking of old, Shea Whitcomb at 14, but he's still prospect eligible, and I still like the profile with him. It's kind of a fantasy-friendly profile, even if he never gets a shot, which maybe is the case. So probably, you know, he's been moving down my rankings, probably will continue to do so. But right now, he's still a top 20 guy for me. But again, maybe this is the last time you'll see him as top 20 for me. Lou James Groover at 15 for the Diamondbacks. Quinton Young and Xavier Nyans, two guys from the 2025 draft class. You know, Nyans, you know, third base shortstop, Quinton Young, third base shortstop. Again, more of those guys that are just kind of playing multiple spots here. I got one of my favorite names to say here, especially as a New Englander, Pax Haba. Definitely a good New England name. Unfortunately, he's now way out in San Francisco, but had a chance to see him out in the Arizona Fall League. He's at 18. Tommy Tanks, Tommy White from the Athletics at 19, and Hau-Yu Lee at 20 for the Diamondbacks. So, yeah, those three guys I mentioned, the only three that I only have as third base only on my spreadsheet are Wilkin, Groover, and Tommy White. And maybe I missed maybe one of those guys has played enough to add another position on my sheet, but I haven't seen it yet. But first thing I wanted to talk about here, right at 11, Brock Wilkin. You know, quietly, he had a really good year. And you might look at the 226 average and think, what the heck are you talking about, Eric? But, you know, when you look past the 226 average, you know, it was a really good season all around. I mean, he had a 158 WRC plus, which was, you know, among the highest marks in all of the minor leagues, you know, this past year. A very high mark overall. Entire year was at double A, 79 games. So let's take away the 226 average. He had a 387 OBP, you know, a large part due to the 20% walk rate he had. He had a 489 OBP and a 263 ISO, 18 home runs and 17 doubles in 79 games. So 35 extra base hits, a little under one extra base hit every other game. Had a nice 69 walks to 93 strikeouts. So, you know, huge walk rate, as I mentioned. K rate, you know, kind of similar to last year. He was 28% last year, 27% this year. So, yeah, that's high. You know, a little too much swing and miss in terms of, you know, it's actually more so, let me rephrase, you know, a little too much strikeouts, but not really because of too much swing and miss. You know, I think that's a common misconception where, you see a higher K rate and people automatically think, oh, it's because he swings and misses too much. That's not really the case with Brock Wilkin. He only had a 9.5% swinging strike rate. I think it's more so he just got too patient. You know, swing rate was only 34%. That's low. Again, super high walk rate. So he was getting himself into a lot of deep counts, you know, which turned out to a lot of walks. That's great. But you know, also got him into a lot of two strike counts. Therefore, you know, even if he didn't have a ton of swing and miss in the profile, you know, just getting himself in that hole kind of made the strikeout rate a little bit higher than you might think when you see a guy with a 9.4% swing and strike rate. So, yeah, he's probably never hit for a high average. He's been generally in like that 70 to 72-ish percent contact rate range. He was 72% this past year. So he's probably more 230, 240, maybe 250, given the quality of contact. But that should come with a high OBP. You know, even when he's, you know, not hitting for average, he's still been giving you a good OBP. There's easy plus power here with Brock Wilkin. I mean, maybe even higher than that, but I'll safely say plus, and that's his carrying tools. Because if he's a hit 240-ish, give or take, yeah, the OBP will be probably better than that and more impactful in OBP leagues, but he really needs that power to be there because he's a bottom of the, you know, kind of bottom of the barrel runner, not to give you any speed. So really need that, you know, average to be not terrible. Just, again, 240 we can kind of live with in today's game where that's not quite as bad as it used to be. But if he's giving you, I mean, 25, 30, maybe even 30-plus home runs over a full season, I think you can live with that. So, again, and the guy where he'd probably be 5, 6, 7, maybe even, you know, top 6 or 7 overall at this position in OBP-focused dynasty rankings. So, again, nice bump there. So, I think Wilkins is a solid buy right now. I really do. Next guy up, another guy who I think is a good buy and probably continue to break out. Already did break out a little bit this year, but I think the breakout could continue in 2026. That is Juan Sanchez with the Toronto Blue Jays, another guy where, you know, it's third base and shortstop. We did play a little more at the third base spot, and just given all the top guys at shortstop, and I wanted to talk about him here because he'd be a harder one to fit in to a shortstop episode upcoming later this week. But with Sanchez, he is more of the bat-first shortstop, not so much the, you know, high-speed type of guy where, you know, we see a lot of that, you know, shortstop prospects giving you a good amount of speed. I don't know what you're going to get from speed from Juan Sanchez. He only had 4 steals last year, only attempted 7 steals in 56 games. And he's really, I think, either fringy or I think right now I'd say fringe average power and probably down to below average once he fills out. I mean, he's still only 18, just turned 18 in late September and definitely has more projection on that frame. You know, 6'3", 6'4" type guy. Probably could add a good 15, 20 pounds of bulk. So don't expect a ton of steals, but I think the bat could really, really stand out. And he already kind of showed that this past year. In those 56 games in the DSL, slashed a robust 342, 439, 565 with a 156 WRC+, 10.3% walk rate, and a 17.4% strikeout rate, and a 224 ISO. 16 doubles, 4 triples, 8 home runs, so 28 extra base hits in 56 games. That's one every other game. And 26 walks to only 44 strikeouts. So 10.3% walk rate, 17.4% strikeout rate. He already showed, you know, a good approach, good eye at the plate, swinging strike rate right around 10%, contact rate around 78%. And he's already flashing pretty good raw power for his age. I mean, you know, for him to be kind of hitting, you know, he's already shown, like, you know, he's hit a few balls like 114, 115, you know, up near 116. So for his age, you know, the raw power he's already showing, it's really, really good. And doesn't really, you know, he doesn't, in the in zone, he makes a lot of contact, doesn't really chase a ton outside the zone, and this really can just barrel the ball to all fields, which that power potential with some good contact rates and a good approach. You know, I think just the all-around impact with the bat, you know, average OBP in the home runs could be really, really impactful from this shortstop spot. Does he outgrow it, move to third? That is a question. We'll see. That's still, you know, way far off. Right now, he's kind of been playing, again, both spots. If I had to guess, I would guess third as opposed to short, but I do think both are possible. We shall see. But, yeah, I think they're one of the bigger breakouts this upcoming season. Could be Juan Sanchez, a guy that's already in top 100 conversation, and I think a guy that could be top 25 right up there with Caleb Bonimer in my overall top 500 by the end of the season. So, yeah, Juan Sanchez, one of the bigger buys at this spot. Next up, Lou James Groover, formerly known as Gino Groover, in case you're wondering who the heck is this Lou James guy. Yeah, Lou James Groover with the Diamondbacks. I think one of the more underrated prospects in all of baseball, you know, from a hitting standpoint. Not a guy that, it's not flashy. The profile is not flashy, but when you look at prospects and think, okay, that guy is going to be a major league hitter, that is what I think with Lou James Groover. Like, this guy is just a hitter through and through, wakes up and just hits baseballs every year, every level he's ever been at in professional baseball, complex level, low A, high A, double A, everyone. Contact rate above 80%. Swinging strike rate well below 10%. Last year, it's 82% contact, a little over 7% swinging strike rate, 11.5% walk rate, 14.4% K rate. Previous year, more of the same. It was basically almost the same exact walk and strikeout rates, 11.4 and 13.6. / 281, 367, 474 in 2024 in 61 games. A little bit of injury-shortened season there. Last year in AA, 123 games, 309, 399, 434 / line, 12 home runs, 23 doubles. So not a guy that's give you a lot of speed. He's really a 3-4-5 steal guy. Probably not going to give you more than 15 to 20 home runs either. It's really, you know, maybe average power, maybe fringe average. I think mid-teens is a fair, you know, middle ground there, maybe upper teens. So this isn't really a direct comp because the guy I'm about to say, I think, has more raw power, but is limited more so by the batted ball angles. But if you're looking at what Groover could be just like statistically, you know, if he kind of turns into the guy that I think he can be, like an Alec Bohm, a guy that gives you, you know, good average. You know, Bohm has generally been in that 15 to 18 homer range. I think that's where Groover could be. So, yeah, not a sexy option, but a solid high floor guy. Like, this guy is going to be a major league hitter. I have zero doubt about that. And a guy that, you know, probably has more value in then points format, too. So, I like Lou James Groover. I think he's definitely undervalued and a guy that could maybe make an impact for the Diamondbacks this year. I mean, they're probably going to start with Lawler at third. Maybe we'll see how that works out. Maybe he gets some outfield reps as well. But, you know, with Groover likely starting in AAA, if Lawler gets hurt again, doesn't perform, whatever, you know, maybe you see Groover at some point this season too. Just keep him in the back of your mind for redraft leagues as well. Again, not a buzzy guy, not a high ceiling guy, but a high floor guy, just a really, really good hitter. All right, next guy here I want to talk about in this range is Pax Haba. I feel like we might have talked about him a little bit in the first base prospect episode, if I recall correctly. It's hard to remember every player I've talked about on these shows at this point. But I feel like, you know, if it wasn't me, maybe Welsh brought him up on that episode. But, you know, Harper is a guy that, you know, saw him a little bit this year and obviously in the AFL as well. But a guy that, you know, I just liked a little bit more and more every time I kind of saw him, you know, played some third base this year, a little first. I think he had a few games in the outfield as well. But obviously came over from the Yankees to the Giants in a midseason trade in 79 games total. You know, most of that at high A, about two-thirds of that at high A, 59 games in high A, 20 in low A. Overall slash line was a pretty impressive 326, 395, 489. That was in high A for the Yanks. But the overall line was even better, actually. 323, 420, 550 overall with 13 home runs, 21 doubles, 6 steals, 12.8% walk rate, and a 23% strikeout rate. You had a 174 WRC+. And I'm actually going to pull up the minor league WRC+ leaders here with at least 300 plate appearances because I'm pretty sure he was very high up. So let me set the minimum PAs for 300 and go over to WRC+. Yeah, he was number two. So for minor leaguers this year, and it includes like all minor leaguers, not just ones that are, you know, prospect eligible right now. So a lot of these guys aren't prospect eligible anymore. But number, let's go to the top 10. So again, this was WRC+ in the minor leagues in 2025 with a minimum of 300 plate appearances. At number 10, Edward Florentino with Pittsburgh. Number 9 was Otto Kemp with the Phillies. 8, Marco Dingus with Milwaukee. 7, Raniel Rodriguez with St. Louis. 6, Alfredo Duno with Cincinnati. 5 was actually a tie, but 4 and 5 was Connor Griffin and Justin Henry Molloy. Number 3, Jack Caglione. He had a 170 WRC+. Then you got Parks Harbor with a 174 WRC+. Only one ahead of him was that dude, Kevin McGonigal, number 2 prospect in my overall top 500. So, yeah, pretty elite company when the 3 that are right around you are Kevin McGonigal, Jack Caglione, and Connor Griffin. So, yeah, really good, sneaky year for Parks Harbor. You know, you could say, oh, he is a little bit older for the level, which is true. He was 23 in low and high A. So that does have to be factored in where he was facing competition generally, I'd say, in the vicinity of 3 years younger than him. So you definitely can't forget that. But, hey, he excelled. I was actually surprised he didn't get some time in double A near the end of the season. But so be it. You know, with Harbor, you know, contact skills are more fringe average. He was running like 72, 73% contact rate. So not a guy where I expect 300-plus average to continue, but I feel like he is a good enough contact guy, good enough approach where, you know, it's going to be a fine average in OBP. Maybe won't be super high and impactful, but maybe a 250, 260 hitter, you know, like a 330, 340 OBP, something like that. That's kind of where I'm at right now on Parks Harbor. And also a guy that could be a 20, 25 homer guy as well. I do think there's, you know, above average raw power in the profile. He had a 107.8 90th percentile average EV last year. So just really good power guy. Again, nothing that really stands out overall, but decent approach, above average power, and I think decent enough contact skills that I think you could see him. And maybe be a guy that surprises some people. He kind of surprised in 2025. I think he's going to be a guy that continues surprising here in 2026 and beyond. So, again, that is my top 20 here. To recap, we're going 1 through 5 with Sal Stewart, Jordan Lawler, Marcelo Meyer, Caleb Bonimer. Actually, I flip-flopped that. So, Caleb Bonimer, then Marcelo Meyer, and then Jacob Raymer at 5. 6 through 10, Luke Adams, Sam Antonacci, Andrew Fisher, Cam Collier, Alex Freeland. 11 through 15 is Brock Wilkin, Juan Sanchez. And that I'm thinking about it, I think that's too low on Sanchez. I'm probably going to bump him up a few here before the 500 update comes out, which is going to be soon, by the way, probably in about a week or so. I got to finish writing up my starting or my pitching prospect rankings. So then the 500 will be out after that. So ETA roughly a week or so, give or take. So again, then 13, we got Max Anderson, 14, Shea Whitcomb, 15, Lou James Groover, 16, Quinton Young, 17, Xavier Nyans, 18, Pax Haba, 19, Tommy White, and 20, Hao Yu Lee. And yes, I'm going to continue saying Pax Haba with the most New England, Boston, Maine, whatever you want to call it, accent I can, because it's just fun to say. All right, as we do with every prospect rankings article, going to end with a breakout pick. I mean, Juan Sanchez, you know, is already a breakout pick there. He's definitely one that I would recommend getting in all leagues right now before the price tag goes up. So he's one. But another one here that I really like, very buzzy, very toolsy guy, it's Quinton Young. Yeah, he got into a handful of games after the draft this past summer. I mean, he was taken in the second round, 54th overall, out of Oaks Christian High School, and got into, yeah, it was just five games in low A. You know, had a couple games started third, a couple games at shortstop as well. So not really going to, you know, mention the stats there in five games and 22 plate appearances, but it's a loud profile in a lot of ways. He's very raw. I mean, he struck out in nine of his 22 plate appearances after the draft. He's a very raw hitter. You know, it's definitely a lot of work to be done in terms of, you know, the hit tool in general, the approach, making contact. So that'll really determine, you know, kind of where he winds up as a player. But the raw tools are there in terms of he is a big, strong, athletic person. And he's listed at 6'5", 215. You know, there's, you know, he's already shown really good raw power for his age. You know, got to shorten up the swing a little bit. You know, another one of those things that you have to kind of be worked on over the next couple of years. But, you know, impressive raw power for his age. And maybe he does tick down to more of an average runner. But right now, I think you could say he's above average. Good, good athlete, plenty of foot speed, a good athlete for his size. He's one of those bigger, stronger, quicker guys that you really wouldn't think would be as quick as he is, but, you know, definitely a premium athlete as well. So even if he does tick down in, you know, foot speed, I think he's still, you know, a 15 to 20 steal guy down the road with potential for 25, 30 home runs. You know, that's really the upside we're talking about here. He's a really strong arm as well, so definitely can fit at either of the infield spots on the left side of that infield. But just that hit tool will be everything. You know, so, but if you're looking for upside guy here in your FYPDs, you know, after the first 15, 20 picks or so, I think he's a great upside pick. And if Minnesota can get that hit tool, you know, improved a bit here, you know, make enough contact, keep the K rate in check, I think you could see a pretty good rise here from Quinton Young this year. So that's my breakout pick, but also, again, another shout out to Juan Sanchez as well. That is going to wrap up this third base prospect rankings episode. Again, Third Base Dynasty will be out on Wednesday with Owen Hurd, and we'll close out the three-episode week with shortstop prospects later in the week on Friday. So I will talk with you again on Wednesday. But until then, everyone take care.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.